Terry Savage, the nationally syndicated financial columnist and author at terrysavage.com. Big day today, not so much for the number as maybe for what they say, right, Terry?
Isn't it amazing? I remember, I think it must have been 35, 40 years ago when we had inflation, and everybody in America who never even took Econ 101 was following a big important number called the money supply. We haven't heard a lot about that because there are other ways to put money into the economy than let it flow through checking accounts. Now everybody's preoccupied with the Fed funds rate and how much the Fed will hike interest rates. And even people who never think too much about economics are going, what's the Fed going to do? We pretty much know. I mean, we will be shocked. In fact, I'm going to come back for about 3 or 4 minutes after the announcement's made, but before the press conference, to just report on the increase, but long odds against it being anything but a 50 basis point, half of 1% increase, widely expected. And as you led into this, what will Fed Chairman Powell say? Will he say, gee, this is working? Whoa, this is good news. We think we might be getting near a point where we can just take our foot off the brake and coast and see what happens. Or is he going to say, well, however, we want you to know we're still looking at wages and we're still looking at jobs in the service sector going begging and we're still seeing rent prices hikes going up. And so we're not done yet. Those are the two choices. And the market will react immediately after he speaks and tells you, yeah, it's 50 basis points, but here's what we're thinking of next.
I want the markets to go up. So what do I hope he is saying then?
If you want the markets to really have a heck of a rally, you want him to say, not only are we doing 50 basis points today, but we've agreed we're not going to do very much in the next 3 months till we see how the economy moves ahead. We think we've probably done just about enough. We're feeling good about it. You will see an 800, 900-point day in the stock market.
Is there any chance he's going to say something like that?
No.
Well, then why did I ask? Okay. So what
well,
you
wanted a good news, and I
really
got to keep talking about it.
Well, then what's the most likely? I'm sure it's somewhere in the middle of the two scenarios.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle. And you know, we've got a lot of players, but I mean players in quotes in the market. I'm not talking about our audience, which is remaining invested conservatively, not worried about whether tech stocks are going to get hit again or come back or lead the rebound, all that kind of stuff. Our audience knows that America's going to be safe. We're going to get inflation under control and just hang in there. But the traders, the big Wall Street types, the hedge funds and so forth, that their business is to place, quote, bets on the direction of the market. So no matter what he says, there'll be a lot of churning around.
I've got a lot of questions already for you about I-bonds and treasury bills and Fidelity and stuff like that. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Terry Savage, syndicated financial columnist, continues educating us about the Federal Reserve.
If you can focus for just a second on some numbers, I know that's hard to do when you're either driving or doing something else and half listening to the radio, but let's put this in perspective, these Fed rate increases.
Okay.
So far in 2022, the Fed has raised rates 5 times. Today will be the 6th. 4 of those times were 0.75 percentage point. 1 was 50 basis points. Now, and they'll probably do another 50 today. I want you to know that in the last 22 years before this year, the Fed had not increased interest rates by more than 0.25 point at a time. So these big 0.75 percent interest rate increases have been really very aggressive. And the idea that they might actually only, quote, only raise 0.5 percentage point and that people will consider this a sign of looser monetary policy is really amazing. In context, they have been extraordinarily aggressive, which is why many people are saying, okay, now, so let's see what the damage is. Let's see if you've done it. And that's what the big debate is. What will they say this year? And by the way, right back in 1980, in the height of inflation, you want to know how scared and aggressive the Fed could get if things got loose, inflation got loose and got away from us. The Fed raised Fed funds by 2 full percentage points.
Huh.
In December of 1980,
wow.
And raising their target to between 19 and 20%. Some of you remember that. I do. So,
wow.
Perspective.
I remember that, but I wasn't a homeowner or borrower then. So that wasn't, I didn't feel it. You know, it just kind of washed over me, which is maybe some of our listeners, but mostly people are very much dialed in on these numbers. So the announcement comes at 1 o'clock, and you'll jump on with us a little after, right?
Right, absolutely. But that we'll still leave the Fed chairman speaking, and we'll watch the market. I know the whole station will be watching. We'll be reporting on what happens to the stock market before the close today. It will digest. The traders will digest what the Fed chairman said, and we'll see.
Here's some questions for Terry Savage. How much can you buy in I-bonds?
You can only buy $10,000 in any one calendar year. So we're coming down to the end of the year. And right now you get 6.49% on your I-bonds. So if in fact you want to buy them right now, then by all means do so. And then you can buy $10,000 more. Now, if you're married, you each open a separate account. And that's
$20,000.
You know, you'll have each can buy $10,000. There's $20,000, and you can buy additional I bonds in a gift box account for your grandchildren. And now, weirdly enough, if you have a revocable living trust, it uses your Social Security number. That's your estate plan. You can buy $10,000 in your own name with your own Social Security, and another $10,000 in the name of your revocable living trust, even though it uses your own Social Security number.
708 said, do you set up beneficiaries when you buy Treasury bonds in case you die?
No, you don't. You can add a beneficiary. Well, first of all, let's rewind the tape here. There's a difference between Treasury bonds and I-bonds. Series I-bonds are savings bonds, and you can name a beneficiary. When you buy Treasury bills, which are a duration right. of a year or less, or notes 2 to 10 years, those are Treasury securities also, bought at the same place. You can name a beneficiary for those when you purchase them, but you're probably better off if you have a complex situation where you need multiple beneficiaries to do an estate plan, create a revocable living trust, which you can always alter, and you can say, by the way, among all the things that I have, you'll notice that I have Treasury securities. Those are distributed via my revocable living trust because I bought them in that. So whatever the instructions are in your trust, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, that's an easier way to get things distributed after death, unless you're buying gift bonds and I-bonds.
Here's a question from one of our listeners, 312-981-7200. Sharon, you go first. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, Gary. I think somebody else mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but the, my son applied with LNET for the refund of his payments, and then he applied and registered for the student debt relief. And he actually received a check for $10,001.12 from the federal government. So, and it says on there, student loan refund. Do we have to worry about that money getting called back? Or
I honestly have been
programmed.
I have been researching this because someone did write and follow up with an email. Theoretically, it should not have happened, but it appears that the Treasury did in advance start sending out checks before the process was halted by a court ruling that said they didn't have the authority. So I would just suggest you deposit that money and
don't spend it. Don't
pay off your student.
It.
Well, you can pay off the student loans because I don't think they'll ever come back and reinstate the student loan. But yes, if I were you, I would actually make sure that that gets applied against your student loans because I don't see how they, I mean, and it's a practical matter for whoever got those checks. I don't think they're going to say, well, we're taking the money back at the federal government level and your loan is now increased back up to whatever it was.
Well, but if they did that, at
right.
least
he
you didn't.
He had paid his loan down to zero. So
fabulous. And I want you to be sure, Sharon, be sure the minute you ever hear that the federal government came back and said, oops, that was a mistake, your loan's back up, you got to call us, please, or email me or go to terrysavage.com and post about it. It appears that some payments escaped because they had asked people to sign up starting back in August, end of August, and some of the payments were made out before the plan was put on hold.
You are the fortunate. I mean, you must have been very efficient and quick to have gotten in line so early, Sharon. That's impressive.
Yeah, my son did it, so I applaud his efforts for taking the initiative and doing it all right away.
Yeah,
the lucky straw on that one. So, as again, we'll wait to see. But you're, a couple of other people wrote to me. I looked. I contacted Treasury. Well, no, nothing's being done because, you know, it's the courts. I said, but I think things were sent out. Well, we can't acknowledge that.
Any last thing you want to stick in there, Terry, before we go to calls?
No, everybody's watching the Sam Bankman-Fried thing, though. This is a reminder, too good to be true, it's not true. Enough said, you'll be seeing it in all the headlines. Probably the largest Ponzi scheme, certainly since Madoff.
Ponzi scheme presumes, though, that he knew what he was doing, that he was, in fact, robbing from people to pay other people like a Bernie Madoff. He says he wasn't doing that.
John, he said he wasn't. And that is what the government alleges in its indictment that he did from day one. We could talk about this forever. He just looks like the boy wonder, and it looks like only a boy wonder could possibly understand crypto. But this is not about crypto. This is about taking customers' money and investors' money in his companies and lying to them and paying off the initial investors or in his company, as well as taking segregated customer funds and using them for other purposes. And that's what the government is alleging. This has nothing to do with crypto. That was just the cover for it. And that he's not the boy wonder that he looks to be.
And
so
how he appears.
It's going to be a headline.
His appearance has nothing to do with it. But if you lost millions of dollars to somebody who dresses and looks like that because they didn't keep a fine accounting of where the money was, and that's the most generous interpretation.
Yeah, I was about to say, or any accounting, right?
Here's a dumb question. It says for Terry Savage, Treasury bonds, is the interest taxable?
The interest, let's stop confusing Treasury bonds with the thing we mostly talk about here, Treasury bills short-term
and
IOUs, and I-bonds.
Yeah.
And in both cases, the interest is taxable as at federal levels, but not state levels. So you save the Illinois income tax, presuming you're from Illinois.
This is go ahead.
And I misspoke myself before. I just want to say, I think I have trouble keeping track of all these numbers. The current rate on I-bonds is 6.89% for the next 6 months. Just thought I'd mention that.
Fred, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. How can we help you, Fred?
I do have some series I bond. I bought 2010 on my job for Ivor Northwestern. So I bought some $50 bond. I pay $50. What to do with this? Cash out or?
No, Fred. Those older I bonds have a higher base rate. And they get the current rate. They are a terrific deal. Hang on to them until you absolutely have to sell them when you're retired and you don't have anything else to sell.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day, Fred. We're glad we could help. Susan, it's your turn. You're on WGN. Hello.
I didn't receive my income tax $300 rebate from Illinois because they said it wasn't put on my Illinois tax return. But then when I talked to the preparer, they said it was made out right. And I didn't get the money because I didn't know any taxes.
I want to acknowledge, and I said this at the time, that I thought that rebate was an attempt to buy votes. Okay, be clearer than that. And so I decided not to have any expertise on it because I think the state is still so far deficient in funding its pensions that despite the fact that they got a bunch of federal money, which they moved around to pay their bills, so they could fund pensions and, quote, pay back unemployment, I think it's kind of a shell game. And I thought that the state was wrong to start right before the election handing out little rebates. So I don't know the answer to your question.
So can I apply maybe next year to get it?
I don't know how that program works. I would suggest you talk with your tax preparer.
Thank you for the phone call. Why are you so standoffish about that?
Because I think the state of Illinois, you have had Sheila Weinberg from truthinaccounting.org on your show.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd probably invite her back because the state just touted that it paid back money to the federal, that it had borrowed at high interest rates from the federal unemployment to pay benefits. There's a lot of moving of money around. I'm not an expert in that. Sheila is. But I know for a fact that we're still woefully deficient in funding our pension. As Sheila describes it, it's like saying, Yeah, I got plenty of money in my checking account. I'm just gonna not. I'm gonna ignore those future bills that are coming down the pike. So I'll let her describe what the shell game is in state funding. It's not just Illinois, but Illinois, according to Truth in Accounting, is egregiously abusing the federal funds that it got to make it look like things are okay. And I just, in handing out money in dribs and drabs right before an election, it just turned me off completely.
773 said, my daughter's a nurse. She left employment from one hospital to another, but she did not roll over her 401 within 60 days. What can she do?
Oh, she can still roll it over. She should call Fidelity or Vanguard or T. Rowe Price, and when, you know, you go online and ask for a retirement rollover specialist. In fact, that's a column that'll be published in this Sunday's coming Tribune. Perfect time of year to look at your old 401ks, and here's how to do a retirement rollover. Why would she do that? Because she'll probably have a lower cost, likely, and a wide variety of choices for investing that money. She should definitely not take the money. She wants to let it keep growing tax deferred.
Steve, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. How can we help you?
Hi, my son turned 17 on Saturday, and I was thinking of adding him onto my credit card. I own a Chase Freedom Visa. I have excellent credit, and I thought I heard you once before mention that this is an excellent way to start off his credit score.
What I'm going to send you to, is he in college?
No, he's a junior in high school.
High school. Okay. There are a number of cards that you can get for a minor that give you cash rewards. And if you go to, for example, bankrate.com and search for student cards, you might want to put him on his own card, on a new card with you. I'm not so sure you want to add him to your own existing credit card. It may be reported in his own name, but that's going to confuse your credit report as well. So I would think if you go to bankrate.com, you can compare student cards. For example, Discover has a card where you earn cash back. He can buy things and make arrangements to pay for them. That's the most important thing. It's one thing to let him use your credit card. The other thing is, does he have an allowance? Does he have a job? So he can learn how important it is to pay it off in full and on time. I would suggest you start with a separate card to do that.
He does all that, but I thought I heard you once before mention that he would benefit from my high credit rating score if he was added on to my existing card.
If he actually doesn't mess up your credit, that's fine. I think it's probably a better lesson to for you to take out a new credit card with him and look at some of these student cashback cards.
What is that website again, Terry?
You can go to bankrate.com and search for student credit cards.
We'll leave it at that. Steve, good luck to you. It sounds like the kid's going to be okay either way.
And yeah, exactly.
David, you're on WGN. We got time for one more question. What can we do for you, David?
Hi, real quick. I was going to my parents' estate to a house in Naperville. Came across a floor safe, and when I opened it up, there were like 800 or 900 brand new $1,000 bills in there. I took one to a bank. They verified it is legal tender, but they didn't know how to accept it because the bills aren't in circulation anymore.
No, you don't want to do that. They might have collector's value.
Collector's value. Wait a minute. If you have $800,000 bills, you have $800,000, right?
Right.
Correct.
But uncirculated $1,000 bills is, it might have an additional, that's the nicest story of the day.
I don't even believe it. This did not happen.
I'll send you a picture.
I'm teasing you, but I mean, really, did you have any expectation that your parents had almost $1 million hidden in the floor?
I never knew that safe was there. You know, I've been out of the house for 51 years.
How did they get a $1,000 bill, let alone 800 of them?
Oh, my grandfather had them.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm going to send you someplace. I'm going to, first of all, you can go to money.org. That's the website of the American Numismatic Association. Or I'm having a mental block, but let me search real quickly for you. In Chicago, I know. Hold on one second.
But, while you're doing that, Terry, though, he could just take them to the bank and deposit them, right?
No, don't do that.
Why
don't
not?
Do that. Please, first of all, you can't deposit that kind of cash without filing all kinds of federal forms.
Yeah, that's true. That's
okay?
True. Yeah,
second
yeah,
of all, this is definitely something that you want to check out, the value of those coins.
Before you give them up. I get
before,
that.
Of, I get of those, that. Of those paper bills.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely sure that there's... You're going to get a premium probably at some kind of
more than
auction.
1,000 for a bill. And what's the condition of them? How do they look physically, David?
They look like they're brand new. 500 damned. Of them are still wrapped in the bank
I'll
wrap.
I'll be damned.
Hold on one second.
This is the best
call ever. Here it
is.
Here you go. I'm looking. Oldmoneyprices.com. Old $1,000 bills can be worth anywhere from $1,050 to $2,800, depending on condition and other factors. One of the most valuable $1,000 bills we've ever purchased was a $1,928,000 star note in uncirculated, no folds condition. Don't ever fold your $100 bills, which I do. Keep one in my wallet. And here, the value table. Look, go to oldmoneyprices.com and search okay. for the value of a $1,000 bill. I know we're going over time,
we
but
are.
Just let me stick with this. A 1928 with a gold seal, could uncirculated, would be a $20,000 price. That's why, no, you don't go to a bank.
Don't take them to the bank. Whoever told you that was crazy.
Don't do that. Wipe that thought away.
All right.
Even a 1934A with a green seal, the in uncirculated condition, is worth $2,500. So don't take the first offer. Go to oldmoneyprices.com because I can tell you for sure that a trove of bills that are uncirculated, $1,000 bills, with so many of them, would even command a higher premium. Now, the interesting thing is, your parents died how long ago? I'm sorry, John, but we got to just finish this up.
They both gone 22 and 27 years ago.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So, you'll also
wait, so
need
to be clear, they died
attorney.
That long ago, and only now you've discovered this safe with the $1,000 bills.
I never realized. My sister moved into the house, and this was in an old bedroom that she just put storage into.
Boy, I hope the two of you get along. There's no fighting over those $1,000 bills, is there?
Okay.
Nope.
Okay,
nope.
Okay. Here's, we're out of time.
This is a numismatic trove, number one. And just send me a note at terry@terrysavage.com. I'll
send
give you
me
some
a
places
note,
to go.
All right.
And number two, you need an accountant or a tax attorney because the question is, what's the basis? In fact, the cost, you let's just say you sell
Hurry.
This for $2 million.
Hurry.
Your cost might, you might not have tax problems because it's part of an estate or a find. And therefore, you may not have to pay capital
David,
gains or any taxes.
If you will allow us, David, we'll follow up with this fascinating story next
Sorry,
week.
Sorry, you got to do a commercial,
David,
but that's
thank you
a lot
for
of
the
money.
Call. That's Terry Savage as well, terrysavage.com. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks.
Whew. And you thought the Fed was big news today. Let's continue with more business news and Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago cloud software company Nerdio has raised $117 million in new funding, and the company plans to add staff next year. Nerdio specializes in software that manages virtual desktops using Microsoft's Azure platform. Cranes reports the funding round was led by a Washington, D.C. venture capital fund that's previously backed Jellyvision and Built In. Funding comes at a time when nine-figure deals have become rare. Nerdio has 100 employees and plans to double that in 2023. Its clients include PayPal, Office Depot, and Comcast. Credit card and personal loan delinquencies are expected to rise next year, according to Chicago-based credit reporting firm TransUnion. The number of people falling behind on payments is expected to be the highest in more than a decade, and inflation will be a big contributor. Serious credit card delinquencies are expected to climb to 2.6% from 2.1%. Unsecured personal loan delinquencies are expected to rise to 4.3% from 4.1%. The number of new credit cards issued is expected to drop by 7.6% next year. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Yes, and one of the biggest opportunities in Chicago's business of food is happening right now, and it is not too late to get involved, which I will tell you about after we thank the Chevy Silverado HD for sponsoring us today. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDrivesChicago.com. So this is a big deal. The food and beverage contract for the Obama Presidential Center. The official application process has just begun, but Joshua Harris, Director of Community Engagement for the Obama Foundation, says the word's been on the street for a while.
Over the last couple of months, we engaged 100-plus businesses on the south and west sides to ensure that people were aware of what's to come.
And what's to come is a restaurant and a grab-and-go cafe, both with indoor and outdoor seating. There will be all sorts of public and private catered events with a goal overall of not being ordinary.
We are trying to ensure that the culinary experience at the Presidential Center represents truly what is great about Chicago and what makes Chicago unique. So folks can not expect the typical ham and cheese sandwich shop that you see at some museums.
But don't you think this could be daunting for some of the mom and pops who probably have that diversity of food you're looking for, but that requirement of $5 million in average annual revenue for 5 years is, well, it's an unreachable bar for many.
Look, everybody has a shot at this. So don't think just because you're, you know, a smaller storefront restaurant or catering business that you aren't, that you don't have a shot. Look to other folks in your community that could come together and join an alliance. And our biggest example is our construction consortium, where we brought together four Black-owned firms from Chicago under the management of a larger construction firm. I encourage everybody to apply.
It's not too late. More information at Obama.org. Now, I'm thinking that the food in the building with his name on it should include the president's favorites, which, according to Google, and it's never wrong, are pizza, cheeseburgers, and chili. And Michelle, she's all about healthy food, so maybe there'll be some of all of that. How about biscuits and gravy? Today's National Biscuits and Gravy Day, and it's National Bouillabaisse Day. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
How about that phone call at the end of the Wintrust Business Lunch, or near it, at around 1:45 this afternoon? Pardon me, 12:45. A gentleman called in to ask advice from Terry Savage. He said that his parents had passed away. His sister was living in that house. Under the floorboards, they found a wall safe, and in the safe, they found about 800 or so $1,000 bills in pristine condition, some of them still with the paper band around them.
Yeah, a literal fortune.
Quite. And so I said, run to the bank, and Terry almost jumped into my, you know, kitchen and said, no, stop. I says, why not? It's like it's $800,000. She said, it's worth more than that. She said, as collectibles, those are probably worth more than $800,000.
Wow.
Wow. And she said, depending on how you structure it, you might not even have to pay taxes on that or something like that. We'll follow up with that guy down the road. Lou Manfredini, our Mr. Fix-It, you heard that story, right?
Oh, my God. It was an awesome story. But before I give you my story,
yeah,
congratulations to you and everybody there, David Hochberg, Pete, Sarah, everybody on raising currently, what, over $140,000 for the Salvation Army. It is just, it is such a beautiful testament to humanity and the goodness in people willing to contribute to all that. And you guys at the helm of it all, super proud of all of you. And just remember, this is how Jerry Lewis got his start.
Well, thank you. I want to throw Bob Coyne's name out there, too. He manages this affair all year long, even when we don't want to, like, it's July, Bob, leave me alone. So here's what I'm thinking. So that's Bob Coyne. He is relentless in his pursuit of making as much money for the Army as he can. By the way, one of the gentlemen that was in the studio who had been saved by the Salvation Army in 1984, he was living on the streets. He was a drug addict. He was an alcoholic. He said he was in a stupor much of the time. And by 1987, having found the Army, his life was back on track. He's a great success story. He has an adult child that lives at Misericordia. And he said, we're very involved there. And I said, well, so is Lou Manfredini. And he looked at me like I was the dumbest guy in the world. He said, well, of course we know that. He said,
very sweet.
The effort that you and Mary Beth make for Misericordia is not lost on anybody in Chicagoland. So continued props to you for that work, Lou.
Very nice.
Hey, by the way,
very
can nice. I also say this? We're at $141,830. Speaking of $100,000, Lou.
All right, so 34 years ago, I'm going to propose to this girl that I'm dating, and I decide I'm going to buy an engagement ring. I have a friend of mine who's his family, he's got friends who are jewelers. shows up on a job site that Mike Jakubowski and I are working on with a little velvet, like a piece of cloth. And he puts his hand out and he opens it up and he goes, okay, here are the diamonds. Which one do you want? I go, I don't know. I go, I know she likes a marquee cut. What does that look like? I don't even know what that looks like. And he moves his finger around. He goes, this. I go, well, that looks like a nice one. How much is that? He says, $1,000. I go, oh, $1,000. Yeah, I'll mount it. I can have it for you in a week, $1,000. I go, is it a good diamond? He said, yeah. I go, okay. So he goes, I'll be back.
Did he say yeah or did he say now, yeah, kid? But keep going.
Well, probably, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. So he folds up the little velvet thing and off he goes. And I say to Mike, we got to finish this job because I need $1,000 to give this guy in a week. So we finish the job. We get paid. Mike Jakubowski goes to the bank. I go, get me the $1,000 because I got to pay this guy. He shows up. Right before the guy gets there, Mike hands me a $1,000 bill. Have you ever seen a $1,000 bill?
No.
Neither have I. And I haven't seen one since 34 years ago. And I said, what is this? And he goes, it's $1,000. I go, I can't give him that. It looks like play money. He goes, well, they gave it to me at the bank. I go, I don't know that he'll take this money. He goes, I think he'll take the money. And the guy shows up and he shows me the ring. And I go, I'm really sorry, but can I pay you cash? And, you know, I'm so naive at this point, right? He puts a big smile on his face. He goes, sure. I go, well, I have this $1,000 bill. I hand it to him.
Wow.
I hand it to him. And he goes, wow. He goes, I've never seen one of these. He goes, I just might have to keep this. And he hands me my ring.
Really?
And off he goes.
Because
yeah.
if you'd
and
felt,
the moral of the story is it worked because I'm still married to that woman.
I know that. If you'd fallen from space and just landed on this scene, there's the one guy going, hey, kid, I got a marquee diamond for you in a velvet pouch here at a construction site. How about it? Is it a good one? Sure, yeah. It is, kid. Or a guy goes, hey, yeah. Here's a Monopoly money $1,000 bill. Which of these two things is most likely to not be authentic? Who's ripping off whom in this story?
Yeah, and I got to tell you, honest to God, when I looked at the $1,000 bill, it looked like a piece of Monopoly money. I was like, this can't be real. And he goes, but they gave it to me at the bank.
I didn't even think they were legal tender anymore. Like, this guy's got all this money. I thought, oh, crap, I'll bet they won't take it. They'll go, no, it's just art now. But money's money, I guess. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
$800,000 bills, which is $800,000. You're going to be on the radio Saturday, sir?
I will be. And great job with the Salvation Army. Props to everybody involved.
Yeah, amen
everybody.
To that.
Nice job.
Okay, buddy. I'll talk to you later. It's your Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, who is kind of like a Lisa Dent in a way. You know, you just go, popcorn. I got a great popcorn story. Odd currency. Oh, I've got $1,000. You just come up to, this is the game you should play with Lou Saturday. Pick any random word, call it in, and then see if Lou has a story about it. And then see if Lisa can top it, because she's like that, too. Okay, Terry Savage, you were just on a little bit ago. I'm so glad you could join us again to tell us what the Fed chair is saying about the 50 basis points.
Well, his official press conference hasn't started yet, but they released a statement, and here's what the market took it as. First of all, they said, yeah, 50 basis points, so that was no surprise. But what they also said is, in effect, you know, by the time we get done raising rates, we're now all in agreement that rates will go, these are short-term Fed fund rates, doesn't matter, just stick with the storyline here. Rates will go over 5%. And the market said, wait, in September you said, we think we'll be finished when this Fed funds rate hits 4.6%. Now you're saying 5.1%? Oh my goodness, you're not convinced that inflation is beat. Oh my goodness, that means you're going to keep raising rates. Oh my goodness, that's bad for businesses. That's bad for corporate earnings. And people don't buy stocks when earnings are down. In fact, they sell them. That might not be good for the stock market, more rate hikes. Even though nobody said anything about what the next rate hikes would be, just the ending point looks like it's higher and farther out. So the stock market was up about 250 points. It's now down about 75 points. Interest rates at the long end, at the 10-year end, are a little changed. But I was, we never mentioned it on the noon show. You know, I follow that 6 month T-bill rate because it's something you can buy at Treasury Direct. It's 6 months better than CDs. It was down to about 4.67% this morning. It has jumped back up in the trading market to over 4.72%. So it, short-term rates are moving up. Concern is the Fed's going to keep pushing rates higher for longer. Not so much. Now we'll see what the Fed chairman says, but that's the way the market took it. Bad for stocks, bad for the economy in the sense of slowdown if rates keep going higher and stay higher longer.
Bad for stocks, but they're not in a free fall right now.
No, the market's only dead. It's holding here because the market, by the way, is handing it right back to the Fed and saying, we don't believe you. In effect, that's what the market's saying. It's look, it's taking the longer-term rates, the 10-year Treasury market, and saying, eh, I don't think it's going that much higher, and it's about unchanged. It's taking the short-term rates and saying, okay, we expect they might be a little higher because you guys are getting tough. But the market's pushing back on this announcement
by
the Fed.
So is Wall Street more optimistic maybe than the Fed?
Wall Street wants, it's hard to say, but Wall Street wants to be optimistic. They're saying, we don't think this recession's going to be so bad. We think by mid-year next year or May even that you'll stop, you know, you might not only stop increasing rates, but we could be looking forward to when rates go down. We don't believe you, Fed, that you're going to be tougher longer. That's what the market's saying right now. Well, we'll see after the Fed chairman speaks if he changes their mind and says, oh, folks, don't play games with me. We are going to be tough. I think that's what he's going to say. We'll see how the market takes it.
So what is the rate? If we had 0.5, then where are we right now?
Well, what it says, this is not a rate you and I trade. It's the Fed funds rate. But it says that the rate, the Fed funds rate currently around 4.5% will go over 5%. So it implies another 50 basis point increase, whether that comes 25-25 or another 50. That's what you, that's all the stuff people will be talking about for the next few months. What it tells you is the Fed is not saying, hallelujah, inflation's coming down.
Right.
Our job is almost done. They are not saying that by any means.
And you said they wouldn't say that. But if it's at 4.6, say it goes to 5.1, I forgot about the notion that they could actually subtract. At some point, Terry,
Get ahead of yourself. Don't get ahead of yourself.
You never let me finish my questions. Go ahead, Terry. That's fine.
I'm sorry, but we started the year at about 0.25%. We're now up to 4.5%. The market wants to look ahead, just like you were about to imply. Well, doesn't that mean we're closer to when they'll cut rates?
Yeah.
And the message from the Fed is, don't get ahead of yourselves. We are not going to be so easy to predict about cutting rates. We are not worried about a recession. I mean, maybe they're a little worried, but we are not going to be kept back from raising rates because of fear of a recession. We really still want to fight inflation. And looking at wages, looking at jobs, that's what they said in their statement. We know we're not done yet. In fact, we have more to do than you might have thought.
Terry, I have just 60 seconds left, and I'm not even talking about $1,000 bills, which we did in our last segment. But is the Fed being prudent here? Do you approve of the tone of their statement?
The Fed remembers that when Paul Volcker gave up prematurely and said, we beat inflation in 1980, we raised rates, the economy's slowing, real estate went to the tank, okay, we're done. Then inflation came roaring back. It's like taking all the antibiotics you're prescribed, even though you feel better after the third day, they tell you, keep taking the whole 7-day cycle.
Yeah.
The Fed is determined to keep doing the full cycle of the medicine called raising rates and stomping out inflation, even though people are starting to feel better about it.
What a great analogy. Always nice to talk to you, Terry. I suppose Lisa's going to give you a jingle later on, but thanks for your help today.
Thanks, John.
Terry Savage is a regular Wednesdays on the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we all tap her as need.